offering today, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me give you a little story about God's power as we just sang about Jesus, right? So there's a story in the Bible in 2 Samuel 5:24. God's directing King David into battle. Yeah, a lot of the things that happened in the Old Testament, there were battles going on, just like battles that go on in our lives today, right? And he had been in battle before, and he was now king of the United Kingdom of Israel. The North and the Southern Kingdoms, they merged right now. He's the ultimate king. And you know, the Philistines, they had a problem with that. Even though they had supported him in the past, they struggled now. And now they were going up against the United Kingdom with a man that was led by the power of the living God. And so they were starting to have some resistance against him. And he knew he had to lead soldiers in the battle. But he didn't lead soldiers into any normal battle. He led soldiers into battle behind the banner of an almighty God. And as the strategists got together and said, this is how you do battle and soldiers and all that warfare stuff. You know, no, he says, no, we're not going to do it like that. We're just going to let heaven direct our battle. Let's just not speak to common sense here. Let's just let heaven lead us. So they went into battle and he says, we're going to attack directly. And you don't do that in battle. We're going to go right in straight. They did that and they were successful. They did that again and they were successful. And as it went on, and all of a sudden God spoke to King David and said, listen, you got to go into another battle. We're going to do a little bit different. I know you're trusting me. I know you're hearing me, but we're going to do it a little bit different this time. I want you to go into the battle, and I want you to wait for a supernatural sign. I don't care what you see in the natural. I don't care what armies they amass. I don't care what you see. I want you to wait for the supernatural sign. 2 Samuel 5:24 sent the supernatural sign. He said, you'll know it. When you start to hear it, you'll know. And it says in 2 Samuel 5:24, it says, when you hear the marching of the soldiers of heaven in the mulberry trees at the top of the branches, move out. And the Bible says, don't delay, don't wait, you go. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what you're seeing. I don't care what everyone's saying. As soon as you hear the rustling of the marching of the angels in the mulberry branches, you go now. He says, okay, Lord. And all of a sudden, the rustling starts, and you can see it here, and it starts to get louder, and he moves out. He didn't delay. See, the problem with us sometimes, church, is when God gives us a supernatural sign, we say, that's not the sign I want. We wait. The Bible says you go. You move. Today, we're going to do exactly that. If God lays something on your heart, you just go. When you leave the worship center today, if God lays something on your heart, you just go. Because the supernatural signs of heaven show up. You don't delay. King David, just go. Just go. Regardless of what it looks like, go. Let's go to heaven this morning, church, in prayer. And we're going to call down supernatural signs. Lord God, I know many of you here at Cross Point Family, you know exactly what I'm talking about when I say supernatural signs. You've had those in your life. And there's others that say, Pastor, I need that supernatural sign. I need to hear from heaven. You know, when you see that supernatural sign or hear it in church, don't wait. Because King David was commanded not to wait. Don't wait. Don't determine what you want God to say to you today. Just let God speak to you, just like the song we sang, speak Jesus. Let him speak to you, and then don't wait. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, I come and storm heaven today with Cross Point Church family, both in the house and online. Lord God, we just thank you. The Lord God, although we suffer some battles here on planet Earth, Lord God, when you tell us to step out, no matter how we're feeling, how we look, what's going on, what we see. Lord God, just direct this church to step forward and move in unison, marching forward. And we will follow you, Lord God, right behind you. And your scripture taught King David that he didn't have to fight the battle. You were fighting the battle. All he had to do was obey the sign that you gave him. Lord God, let us do that as church family, Lord. Let us continue to walk in the signs that you give us, whether from leadership, supernatural, whatever they may be. Lord God, just let us be obedient today. If you're speaking to us through other means outside of the church walls today, as you always do, Lord, I pray that we are attentive and listen to what you have to say. Lord God, let our faith swell up today more than ever. Let today be a day that we remember, Lord God, that we followed the leading of heaven. Let that be today. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus, I pray. And all Cross Point Church said with me, amen. You look at somebody as you're seated and say, I am following the leading of heaven today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Good morning, Cross Point Church. Good morning. Wow, it's good to see all of you in the house. It's good to see so many people online this morning for our broadcast ministry. If you're a visitor today, and I know there are some, just our church folks know this, but on the right and left side of your view up here, the right and left side, the screens that you're seeing is the broadcast ministry at Cross Point Church, broadcasting out in a number of platforms today, and a number of people following and watching our services throughout the United States and other countries. We appreciate their willingness to come into Cross Point Church here in Canton, Ohio, and watch our service today. It is just an honor that they tuned in. It's such an honor to see all of you today come to Cross Point Church. I hear there's a party or some birthday celebration this afternoon. I kicked around not going, you know, but, you know, I'm told, you know, all the guys understand this, right? When you get married, you realize that now the woman is in charge. So you have to listen to everything she says you do, right? Guys, is that right? You know, right, give me, right? Is that right? Yeah, yep, you got to do that, right? For the newlyweds that are in our building, to the older ones that are, you know, we all know what that means. So yeah, I'm told I have to be there. I'm told what to do and how to do and when to do. And so I'll do, right? I just do what I'm told to do. Thank you so much. We'll do it. Hey, we're broadcasting on Facebook, YouTube. We're broadcasting on the online campus, which is a podcast the church puts out every week. You can listen to that. If you're listening to that this coming week, welcome to Cross Point Church. Hey, if you are in the building and you're a visitor, there are many visitors here today with us. I am pretty humbled, very humbled. I see some family here that have come to our celebration today. I see my college roommate from back in the college days, Dave, is over here. Dave, give me a wave if you would. There he is. Yep. It's just so many, you know. Dave drove a lot of hours. Some of you drove just an hour, and Dave drove four, and some drove, I don't know if they drove more. I heard, now, you know, there's some of my baseball guys are here today that I play baseball with. Now, do me a favor, church. Don't say nothing, because you know I talk about them all the time. So don't say nothing. So don't say nothing to them. But they flew in from Belize to come to this, and they did. They went on vacation for a week, and they came and landed. They told me, what, midnight or so, and they made it to church on Sunday morning to hang out with their baseball guy and listen to the word and eat some good food. And, you know, I'm just wondering, you know, they all went on this trip to Belize together. I'm just wondering why I didn't get that for a birthday present. So, right? So, I don't know. But we'll talk about that later, right? So we'll see what's going on. Hey, if you're a part of the Cross Point Church family, you know that we have launched the 2025 Year of Impact, right? This church has decided, by God's leading, that we're going to go out and make a bigger impact in our community in 2025. If you remember that, give a praise offering to heaven today, because you know that's what we're doing, right? And God is going to tell you and direct you what he wants you to do in 2025 individually and through your family to make an impact for the kingdom of heaven. And we're believing that. And I know God's laying that on my heart. I revealed that in Vision Sunday a few weeks ago. And what the church here, Crosspoint, will be doing. That and other things that God lays on our heart. But we're in the launch of the 2025 Year of Impact. So today, I'm starting a new series called Secondhand Faith. Secondhand Faith. I'm going to have to lay some foundational things today, church. So you're going to have to give me some grace, if you don't mind, to get into this series in the weeks to come. I'll need to do some things today. But, you know, it'll be good because there'll be some things, if you're in the house today or watching online, then you just say, I don't know about this Jesus thing. And, you know, you're not really understanding, and, you know, it'll be good for you. If you're kind of like a new believer, we have many of those here today, not only in the house but online, saying, I'm new to this. I'm just kind of feeling my way. I'm trusting. I'm accepting Jesus as my Savior. And it's going, this will be good for you today. Now, if you're like a lot of us that are just what I call old timers, right? I'm officially an old timer now. I'm old timer. I'm old school. Yeah, Mike, thank you very much. You're fired. But, right? So, yeah. Mike's been fired like 3 times in the last 3 weeks, right? Right? He's still here, right? My associate pastor is great. You know, him and his wife, you know, I've been getting teased a lot about being 80 and 90, and, you know, the highest it got was 110. You know, my wife looked at me the other day and said, I love you, honey. I know you're still 70, right? Right? Did you say that, right? 70? Staff meeting, right? So, but we're going to move into this series today, and I want to talk to you about, you know, some basic things. So if you've heard it before, that's okay. If you've not heard it before, that's even better. But the question I have this morning as we launch is, what's faith, right? You go to the dictionary, faith is like a confidence or trust in a person, thing, a process, or God. You know, it's some type of trust, right? And then there's these other definitions, church, about faith. It's a belief not based on any proof. Is what some people think. Like no evidence. They say that's faith. You got no evidence. You just believe in something that you really don't know if it's there, right? That's a lot of faith, right? We hear that all the time. Wow, that's a lot of faith. And what they're saying is that's a lot of faith and really no evidence is what we say sometimes to people. Let me give you some examples. Church, everybody here and everybody online lives by faith. We just don't realize it. And I'm going to tell you, you know, unfortunately, now that I'm 60 years old, I can't even believe I said that I'm 60 years old, I have to do something that a lot of 60-year-olds do a lot, and that's go through Walgreens drugstore, right? Right there? I like, more than ever, right? And so they hand me these little white bags of medicine when I go through there, and every time I go through, it gets more and more expensive, right? And I went through just the other day, and it was $52 for just one little bottle. And I'm thinking, okay, something's wrong here. But I had to stop and think, I got a lot of faith because I'm not sure that's exactly what I need in that bottle. So I go home, and I start to take it thinking, I hope they didn't make a mistake. I'm placing a lot of faith in a person I've never even met. To put that in my medicine. You know, I go to a restaurant, and Nicole and I like to go out to eat, and, you know, we'll go to a restaurant, and the chef will prepare my food, and then the food server will bring it out to my table, and I have a lot of faith that nobody tampered with my food. I live with a lot of faith. And then we order a pizza, and then my faith goes through the, right? Right? And then you order through DoorDash. Right? If you've ordered through DoorDash, you know what I'm talking about, because some stranger goes to some restaurant that you may or may not frequent a lot. They pick up some food in an unsealed bag or a sealed bag. It's like a just, you know the story, right? And they bring it out to your house. They leave it at your house, and you have a lot of faith that they didn't touch your food. DoorDash or Uber Eats, if you ever did that before, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? That's a lot of faith I'm living by, right? I'll give you some faith here. Now, marriage is a lot of faith. Right? My wife yells amen, okay? Faith is, you know, there's a lot of faith in marriage, right? If you're married, you know, if you're dating somebody and you're really serious, there's a lot of faith. A lot of faith in the commitment they're making to you. Lots of faith, right? Here's faith, finances, right? You all that are still working, like me and, you know, a lot of you that are not retired have a lot of faith because you're going to go and wait for the paycheck that supposedly shows up every week or every other week or every month, whatever it may be, that business will still pay you, for the work that you just did, you're believing and have a lot of faith that the check will show up in your direct deposit account, or they'll give you a hand check. I don't think people do that too much anymore, but you have a lot of faith. See, we're living this faith-filled life, but you don't even know it. You have tons of faith to do all that. Here's really big faith. The first Tuesday of November was a ton of faith. Some of you voted for one candidate and the other was voted for another candidate. One candidate had more votes than the other one, but you all had faith that the candidate that you voted for would do what you want done in an office of the presidency of the United States. And then you still have faith that the guy is in there. You're saying, well, he's not doing what I thought he was going to do, or he's doing too much of what I thought he was going to do. And I had a lot of faith that he would do exactly what I wanted him to do. Because you live by faith, right? Oh, I love technology. I do. You know I do. I love technology. I have a lot of faith in technology. I'm kind of a techie guy. You know, I know I'm 60, but I can still run with the young crowd, right, when it comes to technology. I can. And, you know, technology is really cool because it lets you get something or do something. You have a lot of faith that it's working right. Now, I remember when I was a kid, Mom always told me, don't talk to strangers. Don't talk to strangers, right? And never, ever get in a stranger's car or truck or van, right? Come on, right? Was that not pounded? Now, if you're 50 or older like me, you know that's true. Like, now the younger crowd's different because, you know, today, like, Nicole and I go on vacation, and what do? I whip out my phone, I pull up an app, an Uber app, I order a car, a strange car, from a stranger, and then when it shows up, I let my wife get in first, and I hold the door for her, right? She gets in first into a stranger's car with a stranger driving, and I was always taught not to do that, right? That's a lot of faith. You know, I'll tell you a story. Like, we do use Uber a lot, and that's a lot of faith, and I used to open up the door for Nicole, and I would put her in there and sit around, and then I didn't want her to scoot across the seat, right? So I would shut the door, and I would go running around the back to come into the other side. I stopped doing that. I didn't have that much faith, because when I was running around the side, they could drive off. One time we were fighting, and I thought, well, maybe, right? 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 Maybe I said, like, I didn't know what to do. But church, we live by a lot of faith. Let me tell you a story. Everyone hear the story of a guy named Pastor Kelly Kopp. Pastor Kopp, you know, I just stumbled on him not too long ago. I am just super impressed. He's a younger guy. He's full of tattoos. He's just really, I'm kind of impressed. He was the stage manager for a lot of the rock bands back in the day, right? A lot of the rock bands. I wrote them down because I could never remember them. Nickelback, ever hear of Richard Marx? Ever hear of Stryper, Candy Box, Wang Chung? Right? If you're a little bit older, some of those, right? He was the stage manager or the management team, and they would travel throughout the world, and he was very active in the rock scene, right? And one day while they were on tour, this is the testimony that's impressed me, he had a massive, you know, a major car accident. Major. Life-threatening car accident. He survived and immediately changed his life. Because of the impact of the car accident, he went from being that crowd to serving Jesus because God brought him through and his faith just went crazy. And today, he's probably one of the biggest superstars on social media as a pastor all over the world. And I read the story and I watch the videos. I'm just really impressed. He's pastor at Limitless 405 Church in Kingfisher, Oklahoma. How would you like to pastor the church in Kingfisher, right? And that's where he's at. And he comes out here not too awfully long ago. It's been a little bit. But he has this, and you may have seen this on social media. He came out with this thing called Secondhand Jesus. Maybe you've seen the videos. He talks about secondhand Jesus, living on secondhand Jesus faith. And he would talk about how when he was in high school, that this young lady who liked him was trying to get him to go to church. Guys, ever been recruited to go to church? I was recruited to go to church, right? I didn't go.
know the story. When I was in high school, I wasn't serving heaven, and I get invited to go. I wouldn't go, and it wasn't until after I got out of high school I got back to church. And so he was being invited and recruited, and you know, he just wouldn't go. But he heard about Jesus secondhand through this young lady, constantly talking to him about getting to church, and he didn't do it. And years went by, they lost touch. And he reconnected, like on Facebook or something, and the story goes, and the testimony, they reconnected, and she was in a drug rehab clinic, and 2 weeks later, she passed away. And he never got to really tell her that he was a pastor and serving Jesus, because the secondhand Jesus message that she instilled in him, even though he was not receptive, took one day after the car accident. It almost took his life. And she passed away. But here he is, a social media superstar, a pastor, spreading the word throughout the world about Jesus. But the secondhand Jesus that he lived on through her changed his life forever. Which is kind of the core of my message title, is secondhand faith. It just really got me thinking, church. It really got me thinking for today's specific message called Knowledge or Experience. Knowledge or Experience. Question for you, is your perception of God from secondhand knowledge of what other people say to you, or is it a personal firsthand experience? You know, this faith thing is tricky, right? It's kind of tricky, and a lot of us can't explain it. Let's take, for instance, faith in science, right? Let's go faith in science. You got to believe that the heavens and the earth were created through science, by creating something out of nothing. Right? Right? That's kind of science, right? Look it up. They created something out of nothing. If you believe in the Big Bang Theory, you created something out of nothing. That's a tremendous amount of faith. Something happened. Every time you walk outside, you drive around, you look at the heaven, you know, that all came by something happened, and it came from nothing. And then a few years later, the scientists got smart. They started to look into the word nothing. And they said, wait, this word nothing is a struggle for us. You can go Google it at home. So they started to redefine the word nothing. When have you ever heard that before, right? Let's redefine the words. What does nothing really mean? So the scientists tweaked it a little bit to me. Listen, nothing really means that there's kind of like this vacuum of energy. And this vacuum of energy starts to move and create some particles. And once you start to create these particles, they move even faster and they start to gyrate and they end up creating something out of nothing. And they redefine the word nothing. Wow. That's a stretch of faith, right? And they called it quantum fluctuation. Quantum energy fluctuation. And that's how we got here. And church, I tell you what, that's a tremendous amount of faith to believe that. And then we struggle when we say we have faith in God, because it doesn't take as much faith in God as it does quantum fluctuation, something from nothing that just starts to vibrate in a little bit of energy somewhere, right? That's what it means. Faith in God, right? And the science thing is tricky. So if you believe that and something came from nothing and quantum fluctuations and all that happened, you go home and Google it and you'll see I'm right. And it created this, our galaxy, the Milky Way. It created the Milky Way, one of 2 trillion galaxies. 2 trillion galaxies. We're in one galaxy called the Milky Way, and there are estimated 2 trillion, yes, that's with a T, other galaxies. Throughout the universe, throughout everywhere, space, right? Earth is one of 3.2 trillion planets in the Milky Way galaxy. The galaxy that's made up of one of 200 trillion, right? It's just like mind-boggling. And the sun that we circle around for heat and life is one of 200 billion stars in the Milky Way galaxy. Now, if you're sitting here today and you say, that's right, I believe that. Well, all that came from some energy fluctuations, and you've got a lot of faith to believe that because that's what happens and that's what the scientist says. And then they redefined the word nothing to mean some energy fluctuations because they wanted to keep you in the faith of science. It's exactly what it means. And then there's those that believe in God. They have faith in God, right? They trust there's a higher power with that created everything. If that's you today, here's what you believe. Genesis 1:1, the first book of the Bible, right? In the first verse, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He didn't change the word nothing. He just spoke it, right? And then you learn how he did it. He did it like this, Genesis 1:3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. That's one of the many created things that he did, right? And you notice that all he did was speak it. He spoke it, and it happened. He didn't redefine the word said or spoke or light. He just started it. That's a whole lot easier for me to have faith in than believing all this other stuff about science and redefining the word nothing, right? But then science and God intersected. There's this theory out there about, well, really, it's not even a theory. It's called a law now. It was a theory. Now it's called Hubble's Law. Let me read it to you. It says, the universe is not only expanding, but it's doing so at an accelerated rate. If you remember back in the day when the Hubble telescope was created, you know, built, and they got it going, and they started being able to see things they never saw before, they started seeing things that they never understood and never realized was there. Distant galaxies are receding. That means moving away from Earth, from us. And the farther away the galaxy is, the faster it appears to be moving. That means they realize that it's still going on. It's still happening. This Big Bang theory is still being creating the heavens and the earth. All this stuff is still going on. And I'm going to tell you something, church. That's not what happened. That's not it. Nowhere in the Bible does it say God stopped creating. It says he spoke it into existence. It never says he stopped. It says I rested after I started it on the seventh day. But once I got it started, it doesn't say I stopped it. See, when God speaks, he speaks it. And he starts it. And faith shows that it just goes. And science and faith in God intersected. One said, no, God just spoke it, and it just keeps going. The other scientist said, nah, it's a big bang, and it's never stopped. It just once it starts, it's energy, it just keeps going. Out of nothing. Makes you think, church, right? You got to have a lot of faith. Here's a thought for you. In your life, secondhand knowledge may start your faith journey, but it's the experience that convinces you. I just want the experience, right? The Apostle Paul, in God's word, had many experiences, right? And he writes this letter to the Corinthian church, which he started, by the way, on, I believe, on his second missionary journey. And he was there, 18 months, I believe. And so he's there, and he goes, leaves, and he writes this letter. They're struggling with their faith, what they believe. Because this guy showed up and starts this church, and he says, listen, this is how it is, and there's this Jesus guy, and let me tell you about him. And he tells them, and it's different than what they heard before. And so they're struggling with that, and they're fighting, and you know the story, many of you, and they start to fight, and he writes this letter and says, listen, I want to tell you something, and I'm going to read to you what he sends them. Paul, the Apostle Paul, says it straight, 1 Corinthians 15:4-8. He says, listen, I've got some firsthand experience. Here's how it goes. He says, Jesus was buried, and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. He was seen then by Peter. Yep, that's the guy that walked on the water, right? And then by the other 12, the 12 disciples, the 12 apostles, right? Disciple means you're a follower of Jesus. The word apostle means you've been sent out. And those 12 were both. They were followers, and then they got sent out, okay? And the words used, some of you are disciples, you're followers of Jesus, but you're not necessarily apostles because you're not sent out into the mission field, right? You're sent maybe locally, but you're not going abroad or far out. Right? After that, he was then seen by 500 of his followers, disciples at the time. They had a personal firsthand experience of seeing him. Then he was seen by James and later by all the apostles, the same group. He goes back and he references the same group again. Why? To reinforce he was seen, firsthand experience. Now he calls them apostles. Last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, Paul says. I should have been born when Jesus was here, but this is later. This is after he's gone. I just feel like I was born. Ever feel like you've been born at the wrong time? He feels like he writes it to this church. Says, I've been born at the wrong time. Why? Because I saw him too. And he wasn't even here on earth. He was crucified on the cross. He rose on the third day, and then later he ascended to the right hand of the Father. But he revisited Paul on the road to Damascus, if you know the story, because Paul was a Christian hater. The gentleman that wrote two-thirds of the New Testament hated Christians, many of us. He hated us. And Jesus showed up on that road, if you know the story, and showed Paul that he was true. And Paul had a firsthand experience with Jesus. And he writes about it. He writes it back to the church, says, listen, I know it's true because I've seen him too. And many of us would say today, you know what, Pastor, I've never seen him. Hold on. See, church, there's value in secondhand faith or secondhand Jesus stories, which is the title of my series. You've got to start somewhere, right? You got to start somewhere. Romans 10:17 says faith comes from hearing the message. Your faith comes from hearing some message. And the word hearing there doesn't necessarily mean specifically hearing by your physical ears. It means not only did I hear it with my physical ears, but I'm starting to understand and agree with it. Aha. I'm starting to get it. Right? Before you trust, you've got to listen. Unless Christ's word is preached, there's nothing to listen to. You could have come in here today for some birthday celebration, and I never would have stood here, Pastor Mike or any other pastor on staff of our church, several, never would have been up here preaching anything. You wouldn't have heard a word. And for an hour or so, you sat here with nothing but music, and the music's really good. Was that music not good this morning? Yeah, that was really good. But the worship, then the word shows up. The word wouldn't have showed up today because no one's going to preach it. You wouldn't have heard it. You would have went down and had some really good food, but you never heard the word. No one talked about faith, so you didn't understand it. Secondhand faith shows up, right? But it's got its limitations. You can't live on it. You can't live on secondhand faith. God's power can transform you, but it remains a story until it becomes personal. At some point, we need the experience of God's presence for ourselves, right? You can't live on secondhand Jesus or secondhand faith forever. At some point, you say to yourself, I want to experience Christ directly. Even if you're sitting here today or watching online, you're not a believer in this Jesus thing, or you're just, like I said, new believer. You're like, I'm feeling my way through. I believe, but I'm struggling. I got to learn more. Or the old timers like me that have been around in the faith for a long time. I told you before, God doesn't have to prove anything to me. He's proven enough. But it took my faith in heaven to get there before he started really showing me some things, and you know exactly what I'm talking about, church. See, personal experience is where faith becomes firsthand. Personal experience is where faith becomes firsthand, not secondhand. Watch what happens in John 4:42. Apostle John's writing, he says, they said to the woman, we no longer believe this just because of what you said. Now we've heard for ourselves, secondhand, and now this man really is the Savior of the world. This is a famous story, as many of them are famous, and we know the story of Jesus shows up at the well with a Samaritan woman. Now the Samaritans and the Jews, Jesus is Jew, right? They weren't the best of friends, right? Just trust me, they didn't get along. They weren't the best of friends. But Jesus shows up at this well, and he starts talking to this lady. And they have some dialogue, and let me paraphrase it. He starts telling her what she is and how she's been doing things and how she's been living, and the man she lives with right now is not her husband and all that. He tells her, you've had a lot of husbands in your lifetime. And she's astonished that he knew all this. And that's when he looked her in the eye and says, I will give you living water. You're here for physical water, but you don't need physical water. The first thing you need is spiritual water. You need living water. I am the living water. And he announces to her, I am the Messiah. It's me. She ends up leaving the well, as you know the story, most of you, and she runs into the village and starts telling all the villagers what I just experienced. He knew things about me. So the villagers are getting it secondhand. They believed her, but they didn't, right? Okay. Go have this guy come into town with us to hang out for a couple days, the story goes, and let us see for ourselves. We want what? Our faith is good, but it's not that great. I want personal firsthand experience. So Jesus comes into town and stays for 2 days. And what did they get? Personal firsthand experience from the Savior of the world, soon to be, right? And that's where the scripture comes. We don't believe just because of what you're telling us to the Samaritan woman. Now we've heard for ourselves because he showed up. And I have a firsthand experience with this guy. And you are right. Let me give you another story. In Job 42:5, it says like this. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. This is the conclusion of the story of Job, his life. And you know the story. He was very wealthy. He had a great life. He, just like many of you today and watching online, great life. I don't need God. But he lived for God. But he lived, as the Bible talks about, with a lot of secondhand and limited firsthand experience. But that was good enough. But then, as the story goes, the trials and tribulations of life showed up. And God allowed the enemy to take everything he had, including his health and family and wealth, everything. You know the story of Job. He was completely destroyed, but he didn't die. And during that time is when he really got to meet firsthand the power of the living God who brought him through. And that's scripture. My ears heard about it, but now my eyes have seen you. My spiritual eyes have seen you because you have transformed and saved my life. Powerful. He lived somewhat on secondhand Jesus and some personal experience, but he really didn't understand the firsthand personal experience until after the trial that God allowed him to go through. See, firsthand experience with God means when the storms of life come, we stand firm, anchored not only in trusting what we've been told secondhand, but also in our own experience with God's power. Let me give you a real-life example of what happened. I'm preparing this message this past week, finishing it up. And I'm working on it on a Thursday, and I get the call from our daughter. Many of you know on the prayer chain, I get a call from my daughter, and Nicole's here at worship team practice on Thursday, and my daughter tells me, gets me on the phone, and I think she's canceling dinner with plans with us that night, and she calls and screaming on the phone, Dad, I was in a horrific car accident. Horrific. She's screaming on the phone, Dad. The trial continues. Many of you know our daughter's been through some health challenges the last couple of years, right? Been in the hospital many of times. She had an auto accident year and a half ago, and all of a sudden now she's in another one. And I leave and I go racing down to Belt Village Mall, and some of you have told us that you saw the flashers and the trucks and the ambulance, and I get there and you want to know a father's heart. I'm going down 77, probably a little bit faster than I should have, you know, right? And I get down to the exit of Everhart, south on 77, and guess what I saw? Traffic backed up all the way up. 77, I couldn't get there. I had to go by the exit. You know what I saw when I passed the exit of Everhart South on 77? I saw several fire trucks and ambulances and police cars with all the flashers flashing, traffic backed up 3 lanes wide all the way into 77. The exit's shut down. And I have to drive by and look at my daughter and the flashing lights. What's going on? I had to go all the way down to Fulton, turn around and come all the way back up to 77 to exit the other side and cut through the Belt Village Mall and get all over there and get out to get over there. And the whole time I'm driving, I'm praying. Because Dad doesn't live on secondhand Jesus. Dad lives on firsthand experience of Jesus. I don't live on the secondhand. And the whole time I'm just going down there and God is just saying, steady. Steady. Your daughter is fine. She'll be okay. Steady. And I get there, and she's in the ambulance, and she's, you know, as you would think, she's rattled. But they take her to the hospital, right? And they get her there. We spent the evening in the hospital. Wasn't the evening we were planned. And they discharged her late that night, said, "You're fine. You're going to be sore, but you're fine." My daughter doesn't live on secondhand Jesus. You know, our kids grew up hearing Jesus' stories secondhand, but at a point in her life, and the other kids, your kids, us, you got to make a decision to say, "I don't want to live on secondhand faith. I'm going to live on firsthand experience." And when you get the trials and tribulations of life, church, you know, you don't want to have a secondhand faith. You want to have a firsthand experience. Thank you, Lord God, that our daughter lives on a firsthand experience of faith. Doesn't mean she doesn't get rattled. It doesn't mean that we don't get the trials. It doesn't mean that we don't get frustrated. It doesn't mean anything. It just means that we have a higher power to go to when we run into the midst of it all, right? See, we got to cultivate our personal experiences with God, church. And once you start to get the personal experiences with God, you got to cultivate that. Jeremiah 29:13, almost said your favorite scripture. 29:13, "You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart." If you know the scripture here, Jeremiah is a prophet during the time, and we've used this before, and I'm going to give you the context real quick. God's people, the Israelites, were taken into exile captivity in Babylon. They weren't doing the right things. They weren't even living on secondhand God. They were just not doing right things. And God allowed the Babylonian Empire, wicked empire, to take them into captivity, exile them into Babylon. And this prophet writes to them and says, "Listen, here's how you fix the mess you're in. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me." When you start living for me and hearing about me, you'll discover me again. Right? See, church, we cultivate that personal experience with God by praying honestly and openly. We pray honestly and openly. We get that firsthand experience with heaven. Philippians 4:6-7. The Apostle Paul writes again. He says, "Don't worry about anything." That's easier said than done sometimes, right, church? "Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for everything he has done." This is the letter of joy, it's called, right? "Then you will experience God's peace. The process of peace he's laying out, which exceeds anything that you could even understand." Philippi is a Roman colony in northern Greece. They're struggling. Paul says, "I'm going to write you a letter." It's called the letter of joy. It's the process of peace. "Do this and you'll be okay," is what he says, pretty much, right? "Do this. I'm going to lay it out for you. Do you trust me? Do you have faith in me? Here's what I want to say to you." And this is what you do. We continue to cultivate that personal experience with God when we listen to God's voice, church. He doesn't speak to us, Pastor. I would challenge you that 90% of the people watching today and in our worship center would beg to differ with you. He does speak. It's not enough to talk to God. We must also listen, whether through scripture, the gentle prompting inside of us of the Holy Spirit, or just wise counsel by somebody. God does speak. Amen. He speaks to you. The problem is we just don't listen, right? John 10:27, it says, "My sheep listen to my voice," Jesus says. "I know them, and they follow me." They follow me. Jesus is having a teaching moment here. He's teaching the religious leaders some things, the people that really think they know a lot, right? Kind of puffed up. They think they know a lot about religion and the law and things, and Jesus is setting it straight. This is really what it is. Of course, he's the great teacher, the great shepherd. And his disciples are there too. And he's saying that comment. He says, "People know me." Why? They had a personal experience with me. They don't live on secondhand faith. I'm here for them. They know me. Right? That "hear my voice" in that scripture, it's not just the physical voice that he was speaking. He's talking about a deep personal experience firsthand with him.
You hear it first, but then you've got to dive into a deep personal experience. See, that personal experience allows one to know the difference between Christ and competing voices in your head. What? There's competing voices in my head? Tell me there's not, right? There is. We all have those. Don't do that, Pastor, or go there, right? No, wait, that's not the right thing to do. That's not what we do. The question you're all probably thinking is, why don't some people believe they can hear God's voice? Why? Why don't we hear him? Many struggle to hear God's voice because they're already deciding what they want him to say. And if he doesn't say what you want him to say, you say, he never speaks to me. When all along there's some guy or some lady or something going on in your life, some secondhand faith is coming into your life, and that's not what you want. It's not what you think. That's not God. It is God. You're not listening because you don't think God's going to speak to you like that. And God is speaking to you like that. You're just not listening. And then when something starts to resonate with you, and all of a sudden you say, yeah, that's not what I want to hear. So God doesn't speak. He's not speaking to me. Can't be. And you go about your day. And that's why a lot of us, we don't hear from heaven like we think we should, right? We think we have this model of how God speaks. And if he doesn't speak, and then if he does in our model, and it's exactly what you want him to say, we're good. Even though that's not what he wants to tell you. Do you think the creator of the heavens and the earth, that did everything that I just spoke of a few minutes ago, has the ability to get a message to you in your life exactly what he wants you to hear at the exact time you need to hear it? I think he can. I think he does. And until we realize and accept the fact that sometimes it comes firsthand and sometimes it comes secondhand, but God's going to get the message to you. And what's the whole point of it? To get you to have a personal firsthand experience with him. So you don't have to ask the question anymore. Was that God speaking? Right? We encounter God's power when we listen to God's voice. Right? We can't cultivate this personal experience with God. We've got to do it, but we can't do it unless we're serving others. We encounter God's power when we step out of our comfort zone and serve others and share our faith. When our place in our faith, we put it into a practice, God meets us there, just like Pastor Mike talked about on Journey Night on Wednesday nights. Every week here at CP, that's exactly what we do. So, right? Cross Point, every week, that's what we do. We serve others. Pastor Mike, Pastor Christine lead Wednesday nights. They are serving not only food, but we're serving classes and we're helping people. We're serving them. Church, God is a person, and we're meant to relate to him. And that means we've got to experience him to relate. But that experience does require faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, listen, without faith, it's just impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists. And it's not the Big Bang Theory, right? You got to believe. And then he's going to reward those who seek him. Now, I don't know, church. Maybe it's just your pastor. Maybe it's just me. What a deal. All I got to do is just believe he exists. And he's going to reward me for that belief. And then he's going to usher me in over time to a personal relationship with him. And you're going to realize how important that personal relationship is in your life when you're no longer living this life. The Bible says, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every person, every tongue, the Bible says, will confess it. I just hope and pray that everybody confesses it here on this side of eternity and not on the other side, because on the other side, when you confess it, it's too late. But the Bible says you will confess it. You will confess it. You're going to have a personal, firsthand experience with Jesus Christ, whether it happens on this side of eternity or on the other. But you're going to see him. I wouldn't gamble with my soul or my life like that. I trust you're not doing that either, but I'm just not going to take the chance. And As soon as I stepped out in faith, and the Bible says, just seek him and he'll reveal himself to you. Just do that, and he did. And I live on a personal firsthand experience. Church, you cannot find something until you have the faith that something is there to be found. You can't find it until you believe it's there to be found. See, this personal firsthand experience to me and many of you is just irreplaceable. It's just irreplaceable. Once you get it, you never want to let it go. But until you get it, you don't know what you don't know. And it takes some faith to get there. And that personal firsthand experience is also irresistible. Man, everybody in this worship center, everybody watching online today, so many people, thank you so much, know exactly what that means. It's irresistible. I got it. Oh my gosh. It's not only irreplaceable, it's irresistible. What does that mean? I want more. I just want more. It's irresistible. The power of heaven, the power in your life is too powerful. It's just overwhelming. Church, sitting here in our worship center or watching online, what do you really have today? Do you have secondhand knowledge of God, or do you have a personal, firsthand experience with him? Remember, the scripture says, if you seek me, you will find me. So before we leave today and go down the hall and have the best food ever, because I have faith that my wife is going to bring in the best food ever for me and all of you. But before we get there, I'm going to give you the opportunity, church, to go with me in prayer to the throne of the living God and say, I want a firsthand personal experience with heaven. And all you have to do is raise a hand in a church service. No one's going to grab you. No one's going to come down with you to an altar. I'm just going to pray corporately for everybody. But I'm going to lead you to the firsthand personal experience. And some of you say, Pastor, I've been there before and I just don't know. You can come back. You can come back. You can rededicate your walk in 2025 to make an impact in not only your personal life, but somebody else's. We're going to do that. So church, do me a favor. On my birthday, bow your hearts with me today. I know there's somebody here this morning that says, you know, Pastor Brad, I don't have that personal firsthand experience. It's just not there. I don't have it. I appreciate you and I appreciate your church. But I don't have that. But I kind of would want it. I'm going to give it a try. If that is you today, I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up. I just want to pray corporately. Won't have you come down. Thank you very much. Is there anybody else? Thank you so much. Anybody? There's hands going throughout the worship center. Just hold your hand up. Once you put it up, you put it back down. I'm not going to call your name. I'm not going to call you down front. I'm just going to pray. Thank you so much. So many hands. I appreciate that. I see the hands at the back and the sides. I see your hands. Thank you. So many hands. Anybody else? You know, maybe you've walked with Jesus, you had that firsthand experience, but you're just not where you used to be. I want to pray for you today. If that is you today, say, Pastor, I'm coming back. 2025, the year of impact, I'm coming back. Raise your hand for me. I'm going to pray with you. Thank you so much. Anybody else, thank you so much. Anybody, hands throughout our worship center. Anybody, put your hand up high. I'm not going to call you down front. I just want to pray with you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Anybody else? We're going to storm heaven this morning. The Bible says if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. That means it's a personal, firsthand relationship. But let's do that. Is there anybody else that has a hand today? I don't want to forget anybody. Anybody, let's pray. Father God, thank you for the hand in the middle. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, I just come on behalf of Cross Point Church and the people that raised their hand and said, I want that firsthand personal experience with heaven. Lord God, you saw their hands. I don't even need to name them. I have faith, Lord God, and I know that you know who they are. Lord God, I come together with them collectively into the throne of the living God. And I pray, Lord God, that you just reveal yourself anew in a fresh way. Lord God, pour out your power in their lives, Lord God. Let them leave the worship center today, go have some food and enter their week, Lord God, transformed and changed. I pray, Lord. And Lord God, you saw the hands that were raised and said, you know, Pastor, I'm not just doing the things I used to do. I used to have that personal, firsthand experience. I'm just not there anymore. Oh, help me. I need some prayer. I'm going to come back. Yeah, it's 2025. I'm coming back. Lord God, you saw their hands today. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you just flood their lives once again with your power, your presence. Give them the firsthand experience that they're craving. Lord God, open up heaven and pour out your presence. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Somebody say amen with me today. Amen. Church, stand with me today. Stand with me. Let's go out having some really good food down the hall. But before we leave the worship center, hey, let's do one last time. I just think we need to thank God for that relationship today. God bless you.